The idea of Shakti really comes from a meeting I had with Zakir. In 1972, the Mahavishnu Orchestra was doing a charity concert in L.A. The beneficiary was the Ali Akbar Khan School of Music, where Zakir was a teacher. He flew down from Northern California and came to the show. And he said, you know, Ali Akbar Khan said, I would love to say hello to you. So the following day, we flew back up to Northern California, San Anselmo, where Ali Akbar Khan Saab was living. I had dinner with them, and I had an acoustic guitar with me. Zaki had his tabla, and we kind of like said, let's jam. And I have to say that from the 5 seconds in, we never played ever together, Zaki and I. We just sat down, we started playing. But within 5 seconds, I'm looking at him saying, this guy is amazing. I was born to play with this guy. It's like instant connection.
That's legendary guitarist John McLaughlin, our guest many times. That time, talking about percussionist Zakir Hussain, his partner in the groundbreaking Indian acoustic fusion band Shakti. Zakir passed away this week on Monday at age 73 of idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis. Remembering him, John said of the artist he'd known for over 50 years, quote, the king in whose hands rhythm became magic has left us. I'm Dave Lawrence, and today on HPR and All Things Considered, we'll remember Zakir ourselves, thanks to a 2019 interview when he was our guest ahead of a rare concert tour that he and one of his own projects were doing here in the islands. We remember percussion giant Zakir Hussain, grateful for when he was our guest on HPR.
Zakir.
Yes, aloha. This is Zakir. Therefore, I hope this is Mr. Lawrence. You're from Hawaii, I'm from India. We are both laid back.
Thank you, brother.
My pleasure, and I'm glad we could talk. And how's it going at the public radio over there?
It's a lot better when we have somebody like you joining us. Now, for folks, Zakir, who may not be so familiar with the music, explain how your background includes parents with their own strong connection to music and beginning to have you play percussion at the age of 3?
Yes, I mean, when you, as a child who's 2 days old and you're brought home, and the first thing you hear is your father holding you in his arm and singing rhythms in your ear. That becoming a daily routine of having those rhythms piped into your ear and not really having any clue of the world, but you're hearing all this stuff sitting in your subconscious mind. And by the time you're a year or 2 years old, you've got this whole language that's revealing itself to you and it's kind of guiding you without really knowing. You find yourself beating on a table or on a pot and pan. So whether I was sleeping and dreaming it or walking and singing it. And so by the time I was 3 years old, I was already kind of playing those syllables, those sounds. That led to my father's students helping me along. And by the time I was 7, I was actually playing concerts. I became a professional, made my first Indian rupees playing when I was 12 years old and started traveling the length and breadth of the country alone at that age, just me and my tabla and going and playing concerts in so many different cities in India. So all through this, I have to say I have had guidance of great musicians who I ended up playing with. I was playing with Ravi Shankar when I was 16, of course, with my father and so many other great musicians. So the learning process was continuous and ongoing. It still continues every time I play with a new musician at my age. I've played with about 4 generations of Indian musicians. I find myself to be one of the luckiest rhythm cats around.
That's a great way of putting it, rhythm cats. And most of us in the conversation right now who are listening have not had the chance to grow up in Mumbai, India. Maybe people listening are huge fans of Indian food. Perhaps they're going to have some chicken saag or some aloo gobi tonight. But for yourself, paint a little picture of the ways music was wrapped around you or just things that stick out of your own growing up there.
Well, the Indian culture, I mean, we were under the influence of the British Raj for a couple hundred years. That culture also seeped into us. Portuguese were also on the coastal regions of India, and they lived there for 350 years, so that seeped into us as well. And so when I was in Mumbai, which is the area where the Brits and the Portuguese had a large influence, I was hearing fado, or I was hearing Western classical music, or the church was just down the road, so you were hearing hymns and novenas. And so let me tell you how my day began. My day began at 3 a.m. when my father would wake me up as a 7 or 8 year old kid, and then he would talk rhythms with me, and we would sing syllables and the language, and he would tell me about all the great masters and all those stories. And then come 6 o'clock, my mother would snatch me from him and pump some breakfast into me, and then I would be shoved off to the madrasa, where I would learn to read the Quran. And precisely at about 8 o'clock, I'd cross the street and march right into St. Michael's High School Church, where I would join my classmates and we would sing the hymns, and then march to the tune of the Bridge on River Kwai. You hear that? That tune.
Yeah.
And it played loudly on the speakers, and we as students would walk to our respective classrooms, and I would learn history, geography, math, whatever. But the interesting thing is, with my father, I would traverse through the Hindu mythology, learning about the gods and goddesses who are involved with this art form. And then I would learn about the Islamic world, going and doing the madrasa. And then I would arrive and be in a world which dealt with the apostles and Jesus and the archangels and all that. And so I would traverse these incredibly different worlds in a space of hours every day. Later it occurred to me when I grew up that none of these representative and keepers of these ways of life ever stressed into me that theirs was the right way. And so I grew up with all these ways of life as being one. It was always music, the tying thread between all this.
As if that wasn't enough ingredients, you are associated with at least two major cats in the Western world, John McLaughlin, then there's also Mickey Hart from the Grateful Dead. And which of those two guys did you intersect with first?
Mickey Hart, actually. 1971, I met Mickey in my father's apartment in Los Angeles. My father was traveling with Ravi Shankar, and they were touring a lot, playing concerts for 30 years. And the time when they were just cooling off between tours, they stay in L.A. So I was there, and Mickey Hart walked in because Mickey was learning from him. And then Mickey asked him to come up to his studio and help him record his first solo album. My father said, well, listen, I'm on tour, and at the same time, you know, I'm tied into my ways, but you can have my son play with you. My father said, I will come for one day. So that's what happened. And he started the process by playing a pattern which became one of the seed ideas of a song that Grateful Dead do called Playing in the Band.
Wow.
And ever since, we've been together. John McLaughlin is somebody I met in 1972, actually. I was doing a tabla workshop in an instrument place in New York, and John McLaughlin walked in wanting to get a vocal lesson because he heard there's an Indian musician there, and instead it was me giving a rhythm lesson. But I somehow gave, in a comical way, gave him a vocal lesson, and we became friends. And after that, he came to San Francisco, and we played together, and it was such a fabulous experience that it led to us getting a band together with the violinist El Shankar, calling it Shakti. So those were landmark moments for me, and life has not been the same since.
Great way of summing it up. Legendary percussionist Zakir Hussain, our guest today. Humbly say thank you for that and taking the time for us.
Mr. Lawrence, I hope to catch you soon.
I look forward to it. Be safe, brother.
Ciao, bye.
Bye.
Aloha, this is Zakir Hussain. When I'm not meditating or doing a ferocious percussion solo, I'm tuned right here. It's All Things Considered Hawaii Public Radio with my buddy Dave Lawrence.